Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, Bonnet Heads, and the Little House Book Club. They are available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial free thanks to the following supporters: Chelsea Wofford, Andre Jarkison, Brian Mellenbacher, Leah Chiappino, Rhonda Ludwig, Kristen Hirsch, Margaret Loviska, Elizabeth Villamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV Podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind Podcast, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Marissa Baker, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast podcast, J.J. Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Matilda Smith-Thompson, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years podcast, Shannon Quinton, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Megan Parker, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, the No Agenda podcast, Sherry Benner, Lydia Kikuchi, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Don Roberts, Susan King, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Candy Gleason, Angie Zidava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dean Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Anne Quinn, Jill Stellman, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Stacy Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hampton, Stephanie Carnes, Alicia Olin, Jeannie Comer, Elvira Dubas, Stacy Carrigan. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. I have here, returning to the show after a little bit of a hiatus, Susan King. How are you doing, Susan?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for taking the time to do this. It's nice to have you back in the co-host role.
I'm back in the saddle again.
You need like the cluck, 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 cluck.
Right. The coconut shells from Monty Python. Cluck, 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 cluck. There you go.
Do you want to talk about the episode we're talking about today?
This is an interesting one. Even the title's a little strange to me, but for whatever reason, it's one of my episodes that freaks me out. Darkness is My Friend. Originally aired January 21st of 1980s. We're in season 6, episode 19. And this one was written by Vince Gutierrez. And actually, I did a little research on him. He's actually won a couple of Emmys, not for writing, but for sound editing, believe it or not. And it's directed by Michael Landon, so we know some stuff going to go down.
Yeah, we know there's going to be some fisticuffs.
Yes.
So, you know, the episode starts out and we have some pretty exciting music right off the bat.
Very dark.
Yeah, kind of dark, but the music itself, I'm just going to play some of it and see what you think. It's weird. It's almost like a little bit of a New Orleans funeral sound.
Oh, you know what? I never caught that. But now that you say that, yeah, it's that. It's it has
like
that
dissonating
kind of
a dirge trumpet
beat
yeah.
to it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, actually. I have an album around here somewhere that I bought that I think it's called New Orleans Funeral Music or something like that. And it's like stuff like this, you know, it's stuff you put on for a party. And it's
right.
I have to dig that up because I remember it's one of these like things I would put on and just like would help me kind of concentrate. Help me like kind of focus on not dying.
Wow. You really have an album?
Oh yeah.
That's New Orleans dirge music.
You
wow.
know, it's funny because it's in my
awesome.
Head. Yeah, I was at this like music festival, like this little one on the Princeton University campus, and all these like bands were playing, and this one band that performed was playing all this kind of music, and they said, you know, we have a large, you know, I think it was like a 10-piece ensemble that they normally have. They only had like 3 or 4 people there. And they're like, this is our album. So I bought it, and I really fell in love with it.
Wow, that's for no wonder you recognized it right off the bat. But you're absolutely correct. The minute you said that, I went, oh, it is. It's that same rhythm, that
Let's
same
hear another
beat.
Moment of that, actually.
It, yeah, and it's...
Yeah, it's fun, you know.
Yeah. Barrel laughs. It seems more like a Bonanza episode at the beginning of this, and I don't think it is, although I didn't do that research, because we all know, all of us little house bonnet head people know that there are a couple of episodes that Michael rewrote that were Bonanza episodes.
Dare you?
I'm sorry. he had a slow week. But I can't remember if this is one of them, but it's like, wait a minute, where are all the Little House people for probably the first, 10 minutes of the episode? You're yeah. like, is this Bonanza or what is this?
So we do good. Get to one of, we're just full of a lot of people we've never seen before. We're on a train and we're seeing
yes.
some prisoners go to one of the cars. And this is the banter that happens.
Yeah, I still don't understand why my train has to be yours.
Well, it's plain as day, just like the order says. Use the fastest means of conveyance at hand. So like it or not, you're it.
What kind of assurance do I have these men won't cause any trouble?
Well, I'm leaving 2 men in the caboose with them, and there's 2 more plus myself in the passenger car. Remember, we're only going as far as Sleepy Eye. Then we'll put them in another prison wagon and take them the remainder of the way. I don't think there'll be any problem to you.
Those are always famous last words.
Right. Oh, my favorite, though, is the prison wagon. Did you see it? I mean, fresh out of the prop house. It's freshly painted. I noticed that every time. It's like it's painted this really pretty color of green, but it doesn't look like it's made any rides. This is its maiden voyage.
Yeah.
It's just pristine.
It's perfect.
Nice and clean. It is.
Now, we see some of the prisoners. Now, one of the prisoners, Jonathan Banks, I don't know if you recognized him. Have you ever watched the TV show Breaking Bad?
No.
Okay. A lot of people who are listening might have. And that's Mike. It's Mike from Breaking Bad. And he's a lot older in Breaking Bad, of course. But he's a really intense actor. He was also in, I believe, the pilot episode of Whiz Kids. He's one of these guys who's done a lot of work, and he's been in just a ton of things, so many things. And yeah, he's just a pretty intense actor. It's one of these actors I just really enjoy, actually.
I'm glad that you recognized him, because I wondered that too when I started rewatching this. It was like, oh, I went, you know, you watch shows all the time from the 70s and you're like, oh, they went on to do, or they went on to do this, that, or the other. And, but I just didn't take the time to do it. But I was wondering if any of them, since these are, you know, bit parts, if any of them went on to do bigger and better. So I'm glad you knew that.
Well, one of the other guys, James McIntyre, he was. Who did he play? Did he play Jed, or I think, I'm sorry, I'm looking to see who he played in this. All of a sudden, I can't find his name. He played one of them. And he was in a number of different things, but he was also one of the officers in a TV show from 1999 called Cop Rock, which is just really...
Oh!
Yeah, do you remember Cop Rock? It was very short-lived.
I remember the name. I couldn't tell you who was in it, what it was about, but I remember that name. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that. And so we have a bunch of people, you know? I mean, it's all good. You know, he played Jake, actually. Jonathan Banks played Jed. Jake and Jed. Sounds like they should be on an episode of Dr. Quinn.
So, right?
All right, so famous last words, they shouldn't cause any trouble. What we see next is, I'm going to play some of this. Actually, we don't really have to play too much here. We do get to see a lovely shot of the train. And what I found that was so interesting about this particular train is that there's number 3 in the front of it. And this is a very famous train, believe it or not. It's called Sierra Number 3. And it's been in hundreds of movies and television shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I mean, it's been in every Western that you could think of, going back to like 1919. You know, but the train was in famous ones such as The Great Bank Robbery, Jack Lemmon's The Great Race. You know, there's just a ton. And Back to the Future 3, this is the train that was used, for instance. And
wow!
Yeah, okay. So it's pretty cool. But it was also, on television, it was also used in Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, which we have another podcast about. Yeah. And I even have the exact episode. So it's season 5, episode 1 of Runaway Train. So, you know, the train that's used there is good old number 3, which I just think is pretty cool. Highway to Heaven would end up using it again. The A-Team, Father Murphy. I mean, it can go on and on and on. But I think that Little House would use this train a number of times.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I think so. It was derailed at some point, and it part of the buggy or part of the structure was damaged. I think in 1901, part of it was damaged. But it lives on. Even today, it's still being used from time to time. So that's pretty cool, I think.
That is totally cool. I am so grateful that you researched that. I'm feeling like a lazy schlup because I didn't. But awesome.
Well, you know what? As long as one of us do, all right?
All right.
I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but good old Sierra Number 3. So I sound like a foamer. You know, a foamer is somebody who's really, really into trains. And I'm going to look up this one guy on YouTube who goes nuts when there are trains, and I think you're going to just kind of crack up. But meanwhile, while I'm doing that, I'm going to play a clip from The Blind School. And there's not one fern in this in The Blind School, not one fern to be found.
Huh.
Huh. Hey, here we go.
Adam, we'd better think about leaving. The wagon is due in a minute.
I'll be right there. You know, I wish you could come with us.
I wish I could go, too, but somebody's got to look after the school and little Adam. With Ma and Hester Sue and Mrs. Olson, you'll have plenty of company. Besides, the State Board wants to see you, not me.
Well, I just thought that if they saw how pretty we were, they'd just give us the money. We wouldn't have to go through all this business of getting the school accredited.
Adam Kendall, you know how much it'll mean to everyone to get this school funded. Now, I want you to go to Redwood Falls and set that school board straight.
Yes, sir. I'll miss you, sir. I love you, sir. You too, sir.
Aww.
They really went in for that kiss, though, didn't they? I think Mary's, I think Melissa Sue Anderson's over her whole, like, you know, being shy around men.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you ever see that black and white glossy from their wedding? It was like while they weren't being filmed, somebody just took a random shot and she's eyeballing him like a starving person and a piece of ham.
It's like, well, he is Linwood Boomer.
Yeah.
But here we go. It's going to go on a little bit.
Mary, time is
over. Yes, sir.
I like their like little dynamic. Only Adam could joke around with Ma like that and get a laugh.
Yes.
You know, you couldn't see Manzo doing that, you know?
No.
So I think this is the clip, and I'm going to clip through it a little bit, but this is these guys, they go around filming trains, okay? And they get really excited about it when the horns go. You know, this is I'm going to let it speak for itself.
All righty.
This is a video of a train. It's about 2 minutes.
Okay. But... I've been waiting for this moment for months, and it's finally here. I'm finally going to get a heritage unit on camera. Yeah! All right. Look at that. A 1953 E8. Woo! Oh, yeah, listen to that bell. Yeah, listen to that bell. Oh, take a look at that. Oh, my God! Woo! Listen to that horn!
Yeah, so... Wait.
Oh, my God! Oh, she's beautiful! She is beautiful! Yeah! All right! Oh, my... Oh! Oh, oh. Oh no, it's a BL-2, too! Oh, the SNC-52! Oh, my God! Oh, we're going to watch this.
Yeah, I bet you are, buddy. I think he needs a cigarette.
I was going to say, is he going to be okay?
That guy's awesome. I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, I think that is awesome to have that kind of enthusiasm about that. I just, yeah, that is precious. My grandpa worked for the railroad.
Yeah.
B&O railroad.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This guy seems like you might be living alone.
Well, yeah, maybe so.
I think he's like really, really.
He sleeps with train engine. Yeah.
No, okay. He smells like WD-40. Yeah.
All right, put a blanket on top and crawl up there and go sleep.
So basically, Adam is going to go and try and get funding for the blind school. Kind of simple, right? And
yeah.
It's supposed to be, I believe at this point, we don't get it until the end, but it's called the Harriet Olson Institute for the Blind.
Yes. I think it's the Harriet Olson Institute for the Advancement of Blind Children.
It's like HOIF.
Right?
Something like that. So here they go.
Coming?
Yeah. I wonder where Harriet is. I told her precisely 9:00.
She's always late.
Speak of the devil.
Here I am! Right on time! Oh, come along now! Come along!
Hornells is carrying this huge trunk over terrain. Like, it's not even a road. Like, where are they coming from? Oh, my God.
Catherine. Well,
you couldn't swing by the mercantile and pick them up?
Right?
Like, I genuinely believe that. I think it's a little inconsiderate of the Kendalls.
Well, and I try not to be cynical because it makes sense, of course, that it makes sense that Adam, let me get out of real names here. It makes sense. It makes sense that Adam's going.
Oh, sure. Sure.
It makes sense that Hester Sue is going because maybe Adam needs a blind guide. It makes sense that Harriet's going because the school's got her name on it. But why is Carolyn going? Obviously, so they can set up the rest of the story. But it just didn't make any sense. Yeah, you know. So I'm not going to be a negative Nelly. Excuse the Allison.
We get a lot of negative Nelly in this episode.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah,
there's some strange things in this.
You know, I didn't think about that, but you're right. There's no reason for Caroline to even be going.
No.
Not at all. Even, you know what I have to say?
There's not.
Same thing with Hester Sue. And for all intents and purposes, I guess Hester Sue really doesn't need to come.
Well, but maybe Adam pulled her in a, you know, corner somewhere and said, God, I can't, Harriet can't be my God. I can't deal with that woman. Come on, you got to go.
But here she comes. She's...
I'm doing the best I can.
Oh, well, it's her own fault for letting Doc Baker have the buckboard.
Here I am.
Well, I thought maybe I was going to be late, but I'm not.
Mrs. Olson, what do you plan on doing with that trunk?
I plan on taking that trunk with me. Mrs. Ingalls, may I remind you of the importance of this occasion?
After all, you have to make a good impression. So I chose all the appropriate apparel.
But, Mrs. Olson, we are going to request aid, not to show how affluent the community is.
Amen.
Mrs. Terhune, may I remind you who is responsible for all of this?
Help! Whoa.
It's great. Nels drops the whole thing, and we get a nice little comic. We don't know what's going on in this episode yet, right? I mean,
yeah, we really. It's just kind of like, what? Okay, well, you got people.
It's funny at this point.
On a train, and yeah, it's just like it's bipolar. It's a bipolar episode.
Yeah, it
so
really
far.
Is. Mm-hmm. It's about time. I enjoy the twisting and turning of different plots. I think it's a good
yeah.
One.
This but, one's a tornado.
Yeah, and Nels has something to say after Harriet freaks out because her trunk opened up and all of her bloomers are everywhere.
Good grief, Nels, what do you think you're doing?
Oh, I just thought I'd roll down the hill for a while.
Oh, very funny. Look at my clothes, they're filthy.
Well, pick out the clean ones. You got enough here for 6 months.
Well, I need my trunk.
So does an elephant.
What?
Oh, shut up and pick out your clothes.
Whoa. Nels is like, I cannot wait for you to leave.
Right.
I have my cold like... medicine waiting for me at home. Chilling in the ice house.
The cough syrup.
Yeah. He put a bottle in the ice house this morning so he can have it for when he gets back.
That's right.
Glug, glug, glug. Now, when they're getting on the, it's not really a stage, on the wagon, we see the most beautiful mountains in the background.
Right.
It's not much of a prairie.
Right. Walnut Grove's mountainous region.
What kind of farms are on those mountains?
Right. I think they've relied on people just totally delving into the fantasy of it and or not paying attention to, yeah. If they could put, you know, blankets of cotton on roofs for snow, then, yeah, we'll fall for anything.
But, you know, it is a beautiful spot for our house. I mean, I took a screenshot of it, and it's just really, really impressive. The trees mostly look dead, but, I mean, the mountain region looks nice.
I know. I wish they hadn't blown it up. It would have been so cool. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all the money that could have been made? I mean, they could have made it to fund the different Laura Wilder museums. If they had kept that open and let people tour it. Oh my gosh, there's always people trying to sneak into that property.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
There's nothing left.
Yeah, it would all be very interesting. It's just maybe it's also sometimes better to not be able to have those things and to have that that what if type of thing.
Well, yeah, because people would expect to open the door and walk into what the sets looked like, and they were just skeletons, and so it would kind of, you know, pop the balloon, as it were.
Yeah, I sometimes think that we're just too much of a society of people who have everything, really. And
true.
We have access to so much, and I don't know. No, you can't have it. No! No! And that's it.
Yeah,
you know?
You've seen those videos, I'm sure, just like I have, the ones that I think even Allison put one together where it's like the before and after.
Yeah,
like this
I
is
mean,
what
I
it
love
looked
that
like
stuff.
When the little house set was here, and then they superimpose it on what it looks like now, which is just an empty hill. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
No, no, I understand where you're coming from. I'm mostly joking, but I mean, sometimes, you know, these also were built really quickly. So I'm wondering if they would have even lasted.
Maybe all dilapidated. Not.
You know, even Posnos,
I mean, probably
you know,
not. You know. And I think there's been some fires there in Simi Valley. I think some of the buildings were, well, no, I guess they were all blown up, but there's still little pieces. I remember when Dean and Melissa went back, there was still that one fence post stuck in the ground from the little house thing. So, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, little stuff. I mean, it makes the stuff that does remain, which is very little, mean so much more.
True. Very true.
So here's Harriet getting onto the wagon. I just think this is a funny little Harriet moment.
Oh, all right. I'm ready. Oh, my God, what I go through for charity.
You're too, too kind.
Oh, I know. All right. Come on, driver. I said I'm ready. Let's go.
Have a nice trip. Good luck.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
You're too, too kind. Oh, I know.
You're too right. You're too.
Oh, I know. Don't you worry about and that.
And Nels is like, there. I'm so glad the beat is gone.
He's like, oh. He's like, maybe we'll have a wagon accident. Jeez. And Harriet's just holding her entire wardrobe in her arms.
Yeah. How's that going to work? She's a mess. And of course, Hester Sue was completely right. It's like, you know, you don't have to go in rags, but don't be going in your finest. We're trying to get financing.
Yeah.
You dope.
So it's a very visual episode. So I think there'll be a lot of explaining what's going on. So the criminals they convince the police officer to unlatch them, which was really easy. I mean, this is like Keystone Cop type of thing. It's you know, it's like, well, look, if we do something, you just shoot us. Well, okay. It's like, how about this? How about I just leave you in handcuffs? All right.
Right.
So he does a big ruckus happens, and one of the three criminals gets shot. They shoot one of the officers, and it takes all of 6 seconds to torture the officer and to get the shackle key from his sock.
Right.
It's like, wow, this is, I don't know what you get paid, but it can't be enough if you're giving up the key so quickly. Right.
Right.
We get kind of an interesting scene where we have the guy who's in charge of the police. I don't know what his role is exactly. He seems like he's in charge of the officers. And he's just it's kind of gross because he's talking with his mouth full. But I'm going to play it. And he's just loving this free sandwich that he got. But it's an interesting little discussion between him and the conductor. This might be a little loud in the very beginning, so I'll see if I can just tweak it.
20 years, perfect record.
It's hard to believe.
Not really. Just a matter of knowing your prisoners. All they.
I can't do it. You can't understand a word the guy's saying. It's like, rawr, 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 rawr. who shoots a scene with their mouth full of food? Like, what is that? And he's taking more bites.
That reminds
me. I mean, listen to that. Listen to it again.
They look tough, but they're not. I just let them know who's boss right off, and then from then on, it's a breeze. Very good sandwich.
It sounds like you're really enjoying that sandwich. Oh my gosh.
The first thing it made me think of was the Saturday Night Live skit of the Sinatra group when what's his name was playing Sinatra and one of the other people was a rock musician or whatever and he was just like, can't understand a word.
Can't understand a word.
Phil Hartman, that's who I was trying to think of.
Poor Phil Hartman, so funny.
God bless him, I know it, but he was a great Frank. Joe Piscopo was a real butt-kissing Frank. It's like he was afraid to do Frank crusty because the mob would get him. But Phil Hartman was great. He just, that's one of my favorite skits. The Sinatra group.
I have to look that up. Yeah, I kind of remember it, but that whole era was very funny for Saturday Night Live.
That's the one where Jan Hooks played Sinead O'Connor. Oh my gosh, it was hilarious. When I look at you, it's like cue ball on the second.
Oh my God.
Don't get me started. Okay, back to Little House. Yeah.
Well, we have a very interesting Laura in this episode. We have the coming of age Laura, right?
Yes, kind of interesting. We do.
And we have kind of a coming of age Albert a little bit, but
yes,
it's funny. It's a funny scene anyway. He's has Ma's apron on and he's cooking.
Right.
I'm gonna play some of that.
You could call it that.
But you know, Laura's hair is down and it's just casually down. No more pigtails.
Yes.
This might be the beginning of no pigtails. I'm not 100% sure.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Sure, I know what I'm doing. Women always make such a fuss over cooking. The pork chops are almost done and the potatoes are in the oven.
You got a pretty good storm brewing out there. Sure you don't want me to drive you to the blind school, have I?
No, thanks, Pa. I'll walk. I love the smell of the air just before a storm.
Mrs. Diapers need changing.
Oh, Albert?
I do the cooking, remember? You did the changing.
I remember.
Well, I can see that everything's under control here.
See everybody in the morning.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
It's a serious storm. So Albert's, he seems like he knows what he's doing, right? No problem. You know, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's easy to look like you know what you're doing when you're cooking. Now, you've made baked potatoes, right?
Yep.
Have you? Do you poke holes in them?
Yep.
Do they explode otherwise?
I don't know because I've always poked holes in them, so I've never put them in a hole to find
I wrapped them in aluminum foil, and I baked them.
Yeah.
Or I put them on a grill to cook. I've never poked holes in them.
Yeah, I
might
think
poke holes in them to see if they're done. You know, but no.
Hmm.
Not me.
Yeah, but, no, I don't know. I think it's one of those, handed down from generation things. It's like, why do you do something? Well, because that's how my mother did it.
So it's full of crap is what you're saying. No, I'm kidding.
Well, that's how my mother always said it. She'd wash the potatoes, she'd dry them, she'd put some oil on them, and then she'd poke holes in them and shove them in the oven. Sometimes she'd wrap them in foil. Didn't seem like it would make sense to poke holes in them if you're going to turn around and wrap them in foil. But
Well, that would steam them.
I don't know.
I guess that's the part of the theory.
Best baked potato I ever had.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. But the best baked potato I ever had was some lady that cooked them in her oven. And she said she cooked potatoes like she cooked meat. She cooked them real low and slow. And I'm telling you, cutting into those potatoes, it was like velvet. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, she was making them as baked potatoes. But I'd never had a potato like that in my life.
See, I'm not a fan of potatoes very much. But, like, you know, once a year, probably, I'll have, like, mashed potatoes, like, around Thanksgiving or something.
Oh, my stars. You and I are totally opposite. My nickname when I was a kid was the mashed potato kid. I was all about the potatoes.
The mashed potato
I'm still wearing them. I'm still wearing them today.
Do you carry spud guns?
I was the mashed potato kid.
I think you need like one of those. You need the two spud guns and like a pink cowboy hat, like a cowgirl hat.
Exactly. Exactly. I just made cream potatoes with dinner tonight. We had baby back ribs and I made cream potatoes. So, yeah, we always do the potato thing.
I made.
Always. No, what I'm freaking out about this part of the episode is, come on, that storm sounds like a monsoon is fixing to come in, and Pa's just like, Laura, you're sure you don't want me? No, I'd rather get hit by lightning, Pa. Thanks so much. I mean, come on, that
okay,
storm.
Half pint. Don't take an umbrella.
It's just like, yeah, the abuse starts right there in the episode. Okay, honey, go on ahead. Well, it sounds horrible out there, but go ahead. Yeah,
you're right.
So he's not acting like Charles either, but then again, if he wanted to take Laura, he'd have to load baby Grace. Well, now I guess he could leave Albert at home with Grace and Carrie. But anyway, it's just odd to me.
So at the blind school, where I mean, of course there's no lighting, right? I mean, why would they need lighting? You get kind of a creepy vibe with all of these shots.
Mm-hmm.
And plus we have the storm coming, and I think it would be a scary thing to be blind at all, but to be a kid in a blind school and this going on, of course, it must be frightening. So
yes,
Mrs. Kendall is going from room to room and just checking on the kids. And it's downpouring. It's like, maybe Laura, you should, you know, take a ride or something.
Right.
Kimmy, what's wrong?
I'm scared.
Ah, it's all right. There's nothing to be frightened of. The noise is just God moving his furniture around. Say a little prayer that he finishes quickly.
Furniture? I've never heard that one.
We used to say God was bowling.
Yeah, I've heard bowling before. farting? No, not farting. I don't know. It was bowling. I think was. I think bowling makes the most sense. It's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
and also with the counting of the flashes. You know, when you,
right.
you count between the flashes, and I think for every second represents a certain amount of miles. Maybe 1 mile. I forget.
I can't remember, but yeah. Yeah, but I've heard the furniture moving thing, too. I mean, it's just one of them little things you tell children so they won't be afeared.
Now, in this episode, we get a little bit closer to a character who will not have a lot of a future on this series. That's Baby Adam. And Mary's checking in on him and just kind of, you know, that's it, just checking in on him.
Aw, it's okay. It's just a little thunder. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Yeah, that's my boy.
So the door's, you know, somebody's knocking at the door. And I would think, okay, it's fine to go get the door and leave the baby there for the moment, right? Maybe.
Right.
I still would have scooped up the kid personally and said, oh, I'll take him with me, you know, because how many weeks old is this kid? Maybe the kid's six right. months old. I don't know.
I think that would just be a natural mother's instinct. It's raining outside. Or it's fathers. A bad storm. And yeah, you just want to pick up that kiddo.
Right. And you also think that the aunt of the kiddo would want nothing more to spend time with her nephew, right? But it's girls' night. But it's girls' night.
Just a second. Harry, you know it's raining outside.
I know. Sorry, but the water's gone.
Well, if you didn't want me to stay, why didn't you say so?
I'm sorry, but the lock got stuck. I don't lock it when Adam's here. Must have gotten rusty or something.
That's okay. I was only kidding anyway. Oh, I'm so glad I could spend the night.
Me too.
We're going to have so much fun. We're going to talk and stay up as late as we want. It'll be just like when we were little.
Right. Adam Jr. and all the other children are tucked away for the night, so it'll be just the two of us. Come on, see what we can get to nibble on.
Oh, boy, food.
Best part of this is that Adam Jr.'s not even going to be a part of this.
Apparently not. God,
poor kid.
Albert cooked supper tonight.
Albert did?
Mm-hmm. He looks so funny in Ma's apron.
So, yeah, it just kind of goes on and on. We see escapees in the rain, and they're like, oh, let's go to Walnut Grove. You know, it's like Walnut Grove, the happiest place on earth. You know, like,
that's right.
We get kind of a funny scene. I think there's a lot of humor in this episode, which is a very strange place for humor.
Right.
Albert serves dinner, which I think Pa's a little too mean about it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But that's Pa.
So we're going to have chops and potatoes.
We are.
Oh, we're going to have soup first. That's very nice.
We aren't. It's not soup.
Is it in soup?
No.
What is it?
Chops and potatoes. What's the matter with Grace?
Just taste it.
That's my favorite line. She just tasted it. And it's like, it's the grossest looking thing you'll ever imagine. It's like black beans with peanut butter mixed. I don't know what it is.
It's nasty.
And I just Carrie's like, this is my life now. my sad, pathetic life.
Ma's gone and I'm going to have to eat this slop forever.
Pa, are we going to die?
Right.
Jeez. So Pa does not let up. He's not like, well, you tried.
Albert, do me a favor. You grow up, you get married, and you have children. Don't cook for them. You're going to have a disciplinary problem.
How's that?
Because when children are bad, one of the things you threaten them with is sending them to bed without their supper. Yeah, in the case of your cooking, sending them to bed without supper would be a reward. Oh. Your mother wouldn't approve of this, but I think I'm going to make us all some popcorn for supper. How's that?
Popcorn for supper?
Popcorn? What?
That is weird.
I thought that was the secret between him and Carolyn.
You know, there's a lot of secrets between him and Carolyn. He's, I don't know. Speaking of popcorn, we have one of the largest bowls of popcorn that I've ever seen in the history of Little House on the Prairie. We have in front of Laura and Mary, and they're in front of the fire, and they're just kind of talking. You know how in the 70s they used to have those flashback episodes, and most people would skip them? I think Three's Company had Lucille Ball hosting it, and it's like, let's talk about the best moments of Three's Company. It's like, I tuned in for a new episode, not to sit here to watch a bunch of little tiny reruns. This is the closest we get to, I guess, an episode like that. And I like the way that this approached it more than any other way of approaching it. And it's just them talking about past episodes.
You could have seen Albert's face when Carrie mentioned dirty diapers. Of course, Pa didn't actually jump for joy at the news either.
Poor Grace.
Now, if you think about it, this is what a Melissa Sue Anderson and a Melissa Gilbert podcast would sound like if it was recorded 40 years ago.
I think it's very weird to me, but I'm sorry, my throat's tickling.
That's right.
When Melissa and Missy are together in a scene, it's almost like I can feel the fakeness. It's almost like
Melissa and Missy? Missy is which one?
Melissa Sue Anderson.
Oh, okay. That's Missy?
They called her Missy on the set. So, yeah, so they wouldn't have a mix up between Melissa and Melissa. Melissa Sue Anderson was Missy.
Gotcha.
But anyway, it's almost like I can just hear the strain or the fake, or it's like most of the time when Melissa Gilbert's acting, I mean, it's very believable. She can turn on the tears when she needs to. But it's just like ever since she even walked in the door, oh, remember that? And her giggles, her chuckles sound forced. I don't know. I'm probably just being, again, a negative Nelly.
Well, I don't know. I thought this was probably one of the better moments with the two. It's better than the loft moments. I always hate the loft moments.
Well, yeah.
It's a moment at the loft. It's loft chats. Loft chats.
That's the next podcast.
Instead of wagon talks, we're going to do loft chats. Loft chats.
There you go.
Which sounds just a little too intimate, I think.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's kind of like fireside chats, you know, something. We'll stick to wagon talks. If you have a better idea, send it away. We'll try it.
I like Wagon Talks. Those are great. Those are fun.
Well, you know, Wagon Talks is turning into the other podcast I'm launching. Or by the time this will come out, that podcast will already have been released. Excuse me. Called Bonnet Heads. Do you know about Bonnet Heads?
No.
You will, because it's a whole new podcast coming. And Bonnet Heads covers absolutely everything about Little House on the Prairie, the books and the TV show and everything in between.
Oh, that's awesome.
It should be. We'll see. And Little House Book Club.
It will be.
That's
awesome. Yeah, Little House Book Club I knew about, but I hadn't heard anything about. But I mean, I know what Bonnet Heads are. I just hadn't heard that y'all were doing a pod. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's almost top secret, but being that this isn't going to be released until the future. Boom, boom, boom.
There you go.
And tomorrow I'm interviewing an author about a book that she wrote about all of the ways that she just loves Little House on the Prairie. And I'm going to, her name is Alicia Murphy. And I really wish I had all of her information right in front of me, but she's releasing a book, and you can go to AliciaMurphyBooks.com and learn all about it. But I'm going to get her title before the end of this episode, give her a little plug. But I'm supposed to speak to her tomorrow morning, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome.
All right. So back to the fireside chat, the popcorn chat.
He'll never be the same again.
Poor little kid. You know, it sure is nice to sit and talk like this. So many things have happened to both of us.
I know.
You know something, Mary? It's funny. When I try to remember, the only things I do remember are the crazy.
Crazy things?
Yeah. Like the time we tried to sell all those bottles of medicine to buy Reverend Alden a birthday gift. And I got all dressed up in that smelly sackcloth and acted so pitiful.
How could I ever forget? Oh. What about the time we went camping, Wheels? Do you remember that?
Do I? I thought we'd never get out of that river. Boy, were we lucky.
Have you told Almanzo about any of your adventures?
Almanzo? Of course not. I don't want him thinking I'm some kind of a tomboy or something.
Oh.
Oh.
Who is it?
It's all right. It's just me.
Oh, Mr. Olson.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you like that.
Oh, that's okay, Mr. Olson. You just surprised us, is all.
Well, as a matter of fact, I came up here to see if everything was all right. I didn't know that Laura was keeping you company tonight.
Well, everything's fine, thank you.
Well, I guess I'll get back then. Nellie's cooking up some pies for tomorrow.
Really? I thought she didn't like to cook.
She doesn't. I saw her put the apples in without peeling them. I had to leave.
We'll remember not to order the apple pie.
Right. Well, have a nice evening.
Thank you.
You'll be sure and lock this door after
me. I'll do it right now.
So, I let that play for a while, but, you know, they really do make the thunder and lightning really loud. Like, crazy loud.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, you know, it just sounds, again, it just sounds like a monsoon is out there. It's scary, but it sets the mood.
So I do want to just mention Alicia Murphy wrote a book called Walnut Grove Hits Home, Prairie Values for the Modern Family. And I'm looking forward to reading it. I don't even think it's done yet, but she's, while she was in the lockdown, she really just kind of embraced the entire, I think that, you know, the television show and all of this, and just really embraced the whole message that it all presents. And she put it to work, which I think a lot of people really, if they didn't, they should have. I mean, it's what a wonderful thing to do with the time that we were all, you know, kind of, some people look at it as time that was stolen from them, but other people kind of look at it as time that was given.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's so funny that you say that. I was just going through my computer files late this afternoon and found a piece that I wrote that I'm sure I published somewhere that was talking about exactly that. And I mean, that's true about anything in life. You can look at it as a negative, or you can, you know, you can sit there and whine for a solid year, 18 months or however long this has been. Well, I guess it's been, what, 14 months or whatever, or you can turn it into something positive. I know that just sounds vomitably cliche. Turn lemons into lemonade. But I mean, it's true. It's always a choice.
Right. It's what you do with it that matters at the end of the day.
Exactly. It's always a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, it can turn it into something positive or, you know. And so that's awesome that she did that. I'm definitely going to look that up.
But yeah, I'm supposed to speak to Alicia tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. So they're saying they feel bad for Nels a little bit because of how basically Harriet tortures him. And, they're doing what they were brought up to do. They're talking crap behind people's back.
Right. Exactly.
And it quickly goes downhill at this point. So I'm just going to play the transition of it going downhill.
He's such a nice man.
Alrighty.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for him.
You mean his wife?
And Nellie. Let's not forget Nellie.
Shh. I hope he didn't hear anything.
No, he couldn't have, not in this storm.
Now, Nels has been gone for a total of, what, 40 seconds? Right? I mean, they must have seen him walk away. But
it would make more sense that he turned around and, oh, I forgot something, as opposed to somebody new approaching the porch. You would think that Nels would have bumped into him.
Couldn't agree more, yeah.
Mr. Old?
Evening.
Who is it? Laura, what is it?
I'll do the asking and the telling around here. Who else is here? I'm talking to you.
Just some children. Some blind children.
You lie to me, I'll kill you.
She's not lying.
So essentially, they need a place to put their hurt, their damaged person. And they're pretty aggressive, you know, they're grabbing people and threatening them and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They bring him up to the bedroom and put him down in maybe even Mary's bed. I think it's Mary's bed that they put them in.
Yeah. And
yeah, right? It's kind of, you know, kind of gross, actually. And they send Laura to go off and get the doctor. And they say, if you ever want to see Mary again alive, you're not going to tell anybody. So, I mean, I think they put a good enough scare into them that they really kind of believe them. One of the bandits sees the kid and makes a comment.
Cute little kid, who's it?
It's my son.
Your son. Where's your husband?
He's gone. He's on a trip.
Don't you lie to me.
I'm not!
Kid. Hey, teacher, you're gonna go lock up the kids.
So you can almost not even hear the dialogue over the thunder and lightning. Well, the lightning. No, the thunder. What am I talking about?
Yeah, they've got it turned up.
Yeah, they have thunder way turned up.
Horrible.
Which, you know, I guess it adds to the entire vibe of the entire episode. We have Laura running to Doc Baker, banging on the door. He's nowhere to be found. And Laura's just soaked to the bone, right? It's like she's could not be more wet.
Oh yeah, it's just horrible.
And she's just so confused and scared. And we get a much needed moment of comic relief. With Nellie trying to break glass.
Right.
Alison Arngrim sings really high there in a couple times. She's hitting some high notes.
It's an opera star.
And Nels is just reading the paper and like he's just so annoyed. Even the piano's out of tune. Everything, it's just terrible.
Right, the whole thing is
Laura, come in here. What are you doing out in this storm?
I was looking for Dr. Baker. I thought maybe he'd be over here.
Oh, no. He's over at Annie Pearson's farm having supper. As a matter of fact, I lent him my buggy. He's probably caught in the storm. Is something wrong?
Wrong? No. No, Mary just kind of got a little stomach ache after you left.
So, in Nell's fashion, he hands her some, I believe he referred to it as seltzer powder.
Right.
Which is Alka-Seltzer. You know, I just, I always love it, you know, the different names of certain things, you know, the plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Shut up. I was just fixing to say that. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what leap it is.
Exactly. And I always like, I don't know where I spoke about this before, but it's somewhere down south, maybe even in Texas you might see this, but there's headache powders. Do you ever hear about this? It's not cocaine. It's like instead of aspirin, it's essentially...
Yeah, BC powder.
Yeah, and you mix it with water, right? And you drink it. Mm-hmm. And you feel like Albert for a minute.
Right there.
But you can't get that in New York. I remember in Florida, I was able to buy it. And so what is it called?
Does it work? BC, like boy cat, BC powder?
BC powder.
Take a BC powder and you come back strong. I think that's what the commercial used to say back in the day.
Oh, my God, that sounds great. BC powder.
But, I'm so old. Oh,
you know what it is? I had a really bad headache, and I bought they didn't have aspirin where I went. And they're like, we got these. And I don't know if it was BC powder.
We got these BC powders.
And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I just, you know, I had it with a little bit of water, and I just felt like it worked faster and better than pills.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because it's already in a, you know, not a dissolved state, but in a powdered state, I would think that it would go through your system a lot faster than a pill sitting in your stomach, having to dissolve, having to do whatever it is that pills do when you swallow. You know what I mean?
Well, Walmart sells it. Huh. I got to remember this. Adding it to my shopping cart. BCpowder.com. All right. The things you learned.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that when COVID was really cuckoo crazy and I was so terrified. For my mother, I ordered my groceries and had them delivered. And, of course, it was more expensive. But that was just a touch of heaven, not having to go to the grocery store.
You know, we did the same thing with Costco. And I don't know what it was, but they totally shortchanged us on something.
Did they?
Yeah, and then they doubled up on another thing. It was just a weird thing. And I said, look, you know, you didn't give us this, and you gave us two of these. And they're like, they credit us for both, which was weird. They gave me back the money because they had billed me for the double thing. And then they just credited me all this money. And then they gave me another like $30 off for no reason. Like, how are people making money here? Like, it's crazy. So we did that a few times. I don't know. It was okay, I guess. Of course, just like probably most people, I'd rather just go to the store.
Yeah, I mean, I go to the store now, but, you know, when we were, I'm talking about, this was back in the very beginning,
like,
when they
like
kept,
a year
you know,
ago.
You need to wash down your grocery bags, you shouldn't be touching them and all that, and there I was, out there in the driveway, spraying them all down, because they were coming into the house where my mother was.
It's all cuckoo crazy, as you say.
Yes.
But, you know, thankfully we're past that part of our existence, I hope, for good.
I hope so, too.
It seems to be getting better day by day here. And, and as I tell a lot of people, Long Island is the armpit of the nation. So if it's good here, it should be good everywhere. So here we go. We're back at the little house.
For coffee?
Yes.
Oh, I missed the little thing where Albert wants to be a man. It's very sweet. He's reading a story to Carrie. Albert is being a great big brother with his pink shirt.
He goes through this a lot.
He pulls it off.
I mean, you remember when he was smoking Pa's pipe and he turned green in another episode when him and Laura were alone? It's like he's always trying to be older than what he is.
Yeah, it's his way.
Little pistol. Yeah.
No, he is. I just got a great shot of this, and I can't wait to post it. It's him reading a story to Carrie, and you get a great shot of her twigs. And that's not anything creepy or pervy. It's her wall. It's her wall. And it is. That's creepy. That's kind of creepy.
Where he just didn't have enough plaster or wood or. Oh, it's just Carrie's corner. I'll get back to it later.
Or not.
And he never does.
I'll wait until the Carters buy this and they'll take care of it.
Right.
Oh, man. Now, I was commenting about this on the Dr. Quinn cast, and everybody drinks coffee on that show just as much as they drink coffee on this show. Except the funny thing is on Dr. Quinn, they seem to have a 2-gallon jug of it at all times.
Right.
Like when they're, I mean, I can understand it. Grace is, because Grace has a restaurant that's in the middle of
Grace's
the town
cafe.
And it apparently never rains when Grace is open. You know, people need to eat. It just never rains.
Right.
It also kind of never snows in Colorado. And it seems to be very foggy very often. So it's a very strange, strange thing. But they do, you know, even when you're at Michaela's house and she's going to pour a cup of coffee for Sully, he picks up the, you know, the fine china thing that holds about 3 ounces of coffee. And and she lifts up this 2-gallon jug to pour out some coffee that's clearly going to burn him if a drop were to fly up. I don't know. Oh, God bless Michaela and Sully.
That's right.
I just watched the episode, the Christmas episode with the Jews.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
It was, sure. It was pretty good.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, I know the subject matter was sad, but you know what I mean. I don't mean it was good. I just mean it was.
But you know what was good? Hank of all people turns around. Right. And he's like, those Jews saved my life. Not those Jews, but other Jews. Anyway. Good old Hank. Never know what's going
on
with that guy.
Hank.
No idea what's the deal with that guy. But I feel like you could trust him sometimes.
He was a mess.
He was. And that was all happening way before Little House on the Prairie. About 20 years, I think, is the time. But here we go. He's going to ask for coffee, and I just think it's cute. Or he did ask for coffee.
Can I have a cup of coffee?
All right, you can have half a cup and the rest milk.
Okay.
That's a cappuccino.
There you go. That's fairy coffee is what we used to call it when I was a kid.
What do you call it?
Fairy coffee.
Fairy
like
coffee?
Fairies. Yeah, fairy coffee, where it just had like a tablespoon of coffee in it and the rest of it was milk. We called it fairy coffee.
We were told it was coffee, but what we were allowed to have was that international coffee.
Oh, I still have that all the time.
Yeah, those tins, you know. Yep. I don't know if that's... and it was always tasty. It's basically, it tastes like a more grown-up chocolate milk, really.
It's a cappuccino. That's what I...
Is that what it is?
It's cappuccino.
I always want to buy it, but that's what we were allowed to have, like a tablespoon of that with warm milk or something.
Yeah, I have that every... I don't have it Monday through Friday because I'm in too big of a hurry to get out the door if I overslept. But on the weekends, that's what I get, my General Foods International coffees.
Well, that is quite fancy. And that is something I think Albert would enjoy. I always love the little tin, you know. So it reminds me of my childhood.
Yes. There you go.
What's wrong?
They got married, and they told me to get Dr. Baker.
All right, now slow down. Slow.
And you see Albert wants to say, can I just have a whole cup of coffee? Pa, I'm going to just have a whole cup, okay?
Yeah. But Pa, you go with Laura, and I'll take care of things here at the house. Oh, boy, I'm going to get that coffee.
Yeah.
Slow down. Now, what is it?
3 men with guns came to the blind school. One of them's hurt bad in the leg, and they told me to get Dr. Baker. I didn't know what to do. Pa, they said if I told anybody they went to school, I'd never see Mary alive again.
Have you ever seen these 3 men before?
No. I'm sure they're not from around here because I didn't know whether we had a doctor or not. I'm so scared, Pa.
It's going to be all right. Albert, just stay here with your sisters.
Pa, I'm going to have a whole cup. A whole cup, okay?
That's right. That's right.
Me, you know what? It sounds like I'm going to be up tonight. I'm going to have 2 cups, Pa.
I'm going to even slip a little brandy in it.
I'm going to make sure you have coffee when you get back, Pa.
That's right.
I'm going to be up all night. Come back, he's just like on his 8th cup of coffee.
Right. Running around the house. But this house is so clean, man. What's been going on? Well, got about 10 cups of caffeine in me, man. I had to do something. Oh, my God.
Poor Albert.
Albert.
So Pa goes and kicks in Doc Baker's door to get his bag, which I would think I think he would have that with him, but apparently not.
Maybe he's got a spare.
Yeah, he's got his backup bag. We're back at... We're back at the blind school, and things are just kind of still going south. Mary's holding a cloth to this guy in her bed, and his hand is on the gun. The whole thing is very odd.
It's crazy.
And Pa comes there, and he's like, I'm Doc Baker. And, you know, I mean, let's be real here. Charles Ingalls, He basically could be the town doctor. He's really good.
Right.
And his chest is glistening. It is. I don't care what anyone says. At 30 minutes, 26.
Oh, my God. Yeah, why didn't he use this as an excuse? My shirt's soaking wet. Let me take it off and put it by the fire while I tend to this man. That way he could have been shirtless one more time.
Looks like a million bucks, this guy.
Mm-hmm. Grulia says she found a doc outside of town.
You do exactly as I said? If you mean she say anything about you, the answer's no. She made a good excuse to get me here.
You hear Mary, stupid Mary's about to go, Pa, is that you, Pa?
Right. Shut up. Be quiet.
Shut it.
Blow it.
Shutty.
That's not Doc Baker.
Exactly.
What's your name, Doc?
Dr. Baker. Dr. Hiram Baker.
Well, Hiram. My cousin Abel's got a leg full of lead. You take it out quick. And nobody gets hurt.
I'll do my best.
Which is really not, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing.
All right. Get a stick. Get him some booze. Charles don't know what the heck he's doing. He's going to pull one of those pieces of bullet out and a vein's going to start squirting blood everywhere. I got a bleeder.
I'll need a pot of coffee, some string, a Rubik's cube. And is Bandit around? Because Bandit.
Right.
Poor Bandit. Bandit wouldn't even eat the food that Albert made, by the way. We got a little comedic little moment there. Like, again, there's little comedic moments in a very serious episode.
I know. Yeah. And that's so, as many times as I've seen this episode, I guess I'm so preoccupied by the part that freaks me out about this episode is yet to come. So I don't want to have spoiler alert thing. The part that freaks me out. But I never pay attention to the comedy. It's not like I don't hear it. It's not like I don't see it. I remember Nelly. La, 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 la. I remember, but the...
I don't remember that, but here it is.
Where deer and the antelope play. Where the bird is heard. A discouraging word.
Nelly, the water is hot. Wouldn't you like some tea?
That's going to be my new ringtone or something. I'm sorry, go on. You don't remember these moments because...
Yeah, it's like I don't focus on the funny moments because this... I mean, I know this is going to sound really crazy to people listening to this, especially as much controversy as the Sylvia episode is.
Which one is that?
But the Sylvia episode.
I'm just kidding, I'm joking.
I know.
Poor Colleen.
I used to get as freaky about this episode almost as the Sylvia episode because of the part that comes up later. It just
do you mean
just
the scream,
so dark
the,
and creepy.
The Scream Queen part where, it's...
Yes.
Yeah, this is a dramatic moment. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's the sound of it, I think, that gets you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because she's, well, again, spoiler alerting, but it's like, you know, it's terrifying.
But here, this is a nice little back and forth between Nelly and Nels. And Nels is also just sipping away on something. I don't know. He's just... He needs something to entertain himself while Harriet's gone.
He needs something to knock himself out so he don't have to listen to that singing anymore.
Ooh. And where's Willie?
Yeah.
No, Father.
You know
what?
He's in bed.
Yeah.
Never to drink any hot liquids after singing. Something about blistering the vocal cords.
Well, better your cords than my ears.
What was that, Father?
I said you better take care of your cords, my dear.
Oh, I will. Would you like to hear another song?
No. I mean...
Nels?
Oh.
Saved by the bell.
I wonder what he's doing here this late.
Probably heard you singing and thought somebody was dying.
Right? I love these little quips.
Come on in, Doc. Thank goodness. Can I get you a cup of tea?
Oh, rough one. It's miserable out there.
Well, I hope you didn't come over here just to return the buggy. You could have waited till tomorrow morning, you know.
Oh, it was just as easy to do it tonight.
Give me soaked a hope.
Oh, by the way, Laura was by earlier. She was looking for you.
Oh? Something wrong with the house?
No, it was Mary. Laura was spending the night with her, and she got a stomachache or something. I gave her some seltzer powder to help.
Oh? Well, as soon as I have my tea, I'll go on out there before I turn off. Ellie, could I get you something for your throat?
But she just like is like so offended, and it's just so funny. She slams down the cover and just storms out. So funny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is hilarious, but I don't remember any of the funny stuff of this episode. It's just the dark is just so dark. It takes over everything in my head.
Yeah, it's a pretty dramatic thing that's about to happen too, because Doc's like, you know what? I'm going to head over there and I'm going to check in on Mary because Mary's not feeling well.
It's Doc Baker, Mary.
Now, they think that Doc Baker, of course, is upstairs, and that's Charles.
Right.
And this really disturbed me a lot when they do open the door.
Get! Get! Guys, fight, get!
So, it's a very visual thing. Jed turns away. Pa takes a moment to knock him out, punching him. Mary runs to the front door while Jake is distracted. Opens up the door. Doc Baker comes in and Jake bashes him in the face.
Yeah.
And it was just, I feel bad. So bad for Doc.
I know.
I mean, he just came back from, he's got a belly full of roast or something like that.
Right.
And why wouldn't
he just had a hot cup of tea?
Why couldn't the Ingles go over there for dinner instead of Doc or with Doc?
Right.
You know,
exactly. Doc was all chill. He got Nellie to shut up. He had some hot tea. He was all ready to go to bed and crash. And then he gets a bunk on the head.
Pog takes the pistol from Jed, and he comes out.
Hold it, Jake.
No. Well, you throw down the gun, or else this pretty little face ain't gonna be so pretty no more.
Help me, Pog.
I'm sorry. It's Jeb that has Mary now. And I pointed out, he's holding a double barrel shotgun with one hand. I mean, if he fired that, it would probably split both their heads open and he would not fire anywhere near Pa.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think Pa wants to take that chance.
Pa, is it? Well, Pa. What's it gonna be?
What's it gonna be, Charles? He throws down the pistol.
Right.
Do you think that this guy who plays Jed looks a lot like Jack Palance?
Oh.
Like a young Jack Palance.
Right.
I don't know. He's got like that little nose and little eyes. He's got the same high cheekbone thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But he's not really
the bone structure.
Yeah, he looks. I think he looks a lot like him. But yeah, it's James McIntyre. Still, I don't know. But I don't think there's any relation. But I think he does have that kind of look. But yeah, so Charles throws down the gun, and what's he going to do? Allow his daughter to get shot? You know, it's and this is all really visual at this point. None of the kids hear what's going on, which I think is kind of strange. Abel's the one who's hurt, and he starts waking up, and Laura knocks him out. I was thinking, why doesn't Laura climb out the window? I mean, I think everybody's afraid of jumping out the window of the blind school or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that, it's nuts to me. Charles is kind of sneaking around. They're all just trying to find each other, and it's very tense. There's a lot of suspense going on.
Yes.
And I believe it's Jed fires through the kitchen door into Pa.
Yes.
But no kids hear this. They don't hear the gunshot still. I just think it's so strange.
Yeah, it is strange. They're sleeping hard.
They're all still just kind of walking around. We still see the response. It goes on for like, I don't know, five minutes. And it just...
Yeah, it goes on for a minute. I mean, yeah. They just really... Yeah, the suspense is just like... Yeah.
And we get to this kind of moment of crescendo where Jake is... Not Jake, Jed is looking for Mary.
Hey, little lady. I'm going to find you soon enough. You come out, I won't hurt you.
And it's just, it goes over and over. Mary, a cat makes a sound. He fires the gun. Mary runs. And at this point, she closes the door, but he overpowers him. And I think this is like the makings of a horror movie right here.
Yes.
The way that he kind of came in, he kind of has this grin on his face.
Well, yeah, you know what they want you to think that he's thinking. It's like, we think that, you know, Pa's been shot and he's laying unconscious.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember where Laura's at this point. Doc Baker's been hit.
It's a so perfect it's like, opportunity to do anything you want.
Yes.
So he, we get the scream. We get the super horror scream. And Pa comes out of nowhere with, like, his shrapnel from the gun blast. I mean, I don't know how he lived, but he lived.
Yeah, I don't either.
And he's just going nuts. I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just saying, that scream just kill. It's just like...
Yeah, and it goes on. Because she's blind. Yeah. She doesn't know what the hell's going on. Right. That must have been a chair that Charles made to knock him out like that. That was a well-made chair.
Yes, it was.
Because it, bam. You know. But Charles is just, just kind of continuing. And
it was like, don't be messing with my children.
Yeah, really.
I'm with Charles Ingalls with that. Well, if that was happening, if somebody was threatening your son like that child, you'd have that chair picked up too.
Yeah. I'd build a quick chair and I'd smash him with it. It would be a well-built chair. Yes. Oh, maybe we should have a different, make two of them. That way I still have one. All right. But so here's the scream again because Mary is just huddling in fear in the corner.
That's an Emmy scream.
Then and Charles comes over and we get the scream again. She hears the music. Everything's fine.
That's right.
Laura kind of comes in. And this is kind of like the end of a horror movie, too.
Okay.
And he's got his girls back and they go to check on Doc to see if he's all right. He makes a joke, so I think that automatically means he's okay.
Right.
Are you all right?
I think so. I'll tell you one thing. The last time I ever make a house call.
It's a womp womp. Last time I make a house call. Jeez.
Okay, so we have to play the Ingalls ending because it wouldn't be Little House without everything falling into place.
Well, they come back and it's bad news. We have bad news at the end of this episode.
No, we've got good news.
No, it's bad.
You'll understand it.
can't understand why the school board had turned you down.
Well, they were very cordial about it. But the answer was a very firm no.
They said we could try again next year.
Next year? We need the money now.
Stop being so greedy.
We just have to tighten our belts a little tighter. Besides, what you've been through, nothing else seems important.
I'm into that.
Stop being so religious. I'm into that. Don't bring God into this. Come on. Holy rollers. All right. I'm just kidding.
We'll survive.
Mr. Engels?
Yeah.
We're all set to go now. How do you want the bank draft made out?
Now, this guy, he looks like he gained 10 pounds in sandwiches. This is the guy who was eating pickles and sandwiches on the train. He finally has an empty mouth, and I can understand what he's saying. And at least he's delivering good news.
Bankrupt? What bankrupt? Well, there's a $1,000 reward for the recapture of the Brandywine.
$1,000? What?
$1,000?
And it's just kind of interesting where this happens.
You want me to just make it out to Charles Engels?
Yeah.
Damn straight.
So how about this? $50 for the blind school.
That's right.
$150 for the blind school, $850 for me. I have a bandage on my face. I look like the Elephant Man.
That's right.
Poor guy.
Got to have plastic surgery. It's going to cost at least $900.
Yeah, it's true. And Doc's got to get that door fixed. You know, there are a lot of damages that came along with all of this. Well, you know, he might take Charles to small claims court.
How about the psychiatric appointments for Mary and Laura?
You know, you're not wrong.
No.
Maybe
the
we can afford.
Hell.
Maybe we can buy a fern or two for this place because there's not one fern in the blind school.
Okay, they got to have their ferns. Okay, play the end of the clip. I want to hear the
good news. Make it out to the Harriet Olson Institute for the Blind.
Hallelujah!
And we get the death music again.
Death music.
And they're in the paddy wagon, and they're going away, and that's it. You know, so it all ends well, right?
It does end well, but you know, just like I was talking about before, it's so funny because, of course, I knew that we were going to do this pod. So, of course, I watched the episode again, and I had not seen it for a while. It's kind of one of those episodes that, I don't know why I'm so psychologically messed up about this episode because it's one of those, like, not purposely, I'm going to skip that one. But I had forgotten about the happy ending until I watched it this time because I'm so hyper-focused on that scream.
Yeah.
Just
how do you come back from that, you know?
Yeah, it's just always freaked me out, I guess, because, I don't know, Melissa Sue just really tore that up.
You know,
all I could remember was the torture.
The torture.
The torture.
The torture and the screaming.
That's right.
You know, I wish I could find this music right now, but I can't. The death music thing, it's...
And then, of course, we have to go back to the happy music. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like with all the talks in 2021, I mean, it hasn't just been 2021. The talk has been going on for a couple of years now where they're, you know, identifying and talking about trauma, and I'm not going to go psychobabbly. It's just that, you know, it's a part of what I do at my work. I have to take tick training, trauma and care training, and how they've really, you know, identified that. It's like these two characters have been through more trauma. They would just be like basket weavers sitting in a corner from all the trauma they've gone through. The characters, I should say, have gone through.
Yeah. And in real life, people go through a lot of terrible things. You know, I have a very close friend who's going through something with her 12-year-old son, and who I'm also close with. And, you know, it's the way people are handling all of these things. you know, everybody's handling it in their own ways. And,
yes.
But yeah, absolutely. I can't find the funeral music. Can't put the fun background funeral, unfortunately.
Oh, shucks.
But Susan, I want to thank you so much for getting together tonight. It was a lot of
thank
fun.
Thank you. It was. It was fun to hop back on the Little House wagon.
On the wagon.
With one of my creepy episodes, but it was very good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. I thought this was a great episode to review, and I think that there's a lot of stuff going on in this episode, and I think people should really revisit this episode.
Yeah, I think so too, because it is very visual, like you say, in chatting about it in a pod, I mean, you get an essence of how crazy and cuckoo it is, but there's nothing like watching it on TV.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.